Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
My parents would let us like cry ourselves to sleep, and we'd wake up hours later wondering what happened.
Actually, at Oscar's house, they'd put Oscar in the trash can.
Because I know it's not my car. This is my boss's car. I'm going to drop something off for Podville near the White House. And he's like, yes, I know who you're, you know, you're talking about Shannon, your boss. But this is not her car either. And she looks around. She's like, there's a baby seat in the back.
They tested Oscar a lot in schools.
Came up negative for lead.
Part of the deal with my...
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Just doing this for fun.
I like it.
See if I can match up with the music.
This is a great video day.
Anyway, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Heard in great towns like Monterey, California, Buffalo, Wyoming, Southington, Connecticut. I know that. Cap d'Ali, France. Baton, did I say it right today?
Cap d'Ali.
I did. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Gdansk.
Gdansk. Yes.
Gdansk.
More pierogi. More pierogi.
Do you not really get any suggestions on cities? Do you just sit around and say, this will screw them up?
No, absolutely not. People submit them all the time, and they come throughout the week. I love it.
I'm curious. Welcome to the wonderful show. Whoa. I prioritize what I see fit for discussion on this show with 6 seconds left before airtime. That's how I do it. If you're wondering what goes on, I do a lot of show prep where I list some stuff and I figure it out. Then I come and talk to the guys and they throw a couple of things out. And then something piques my curiosity where I throw out my story about, my little son turning into Damien.
A very willful boy, Mike.
I'll get to that later.
Damien Einstein?
Because you're talking about a major Podville incident that I'm just dying of curiosity, so it goes right to the lead.
Please.
Because I'm not that way. I don't need to monopolize the conversation every day at the beginning of the show. And I'm curious. I'm curious about this. For the purpose of explanation,
here's Larry.
Podville Media is the company that is really tied in to the Mike O'Mara Show. Podville Media controls the real estate where we broadcast from.
Company.
Our employees work for this show and also Podville Media. Mm-hmm. Oscar Santana is the chief poobah at Podville Media, along with the money poobah, Charlie Burney. And I also have an interest in Podville Media, so it's very closely
49.5%.
You're always interested.
0.49 and 1/10 of 1/100 of a. And we recently, within the year, we moved our facilities from Wisconsin Avenue in Washington, D.C. to downtown Washington, D.C., where we have a fabulous facility.
First class.
You or your business can come in really as podcast novices, and if you have a viable company that really wants to get something started, this is a company that can help you in every single aspect
of it. We produce on-site and nationally and overseas.
From acorn to oak tree, Mike.
From acorn to oak tree?
Yes.
From seed to table.
Exactly. And every detail is... our goal is to have you wanting for nothing. And... part of that process is delivering mobile broadcast kits, whether it's with a Comrex or Telos, to guests to get the greatest fidelity of connection with the guest.
Yeah, and if you're someone who is doing this seriously, and it's not for the people that want to do something from their parents' basement.
Right.
However, it is a lot of home-based operation that only grew during the pandemic. So we do that. We consult on podcasting.
People want to do it from their office,
right?
Because there's a secure location. That's what they want to do.
everything from content to hardware is under the umbrella. And we've been utilized. We should point it out because we don't talk about it enough, that Podville Media has been used by some really, really wonderful operations, and including ESPN, the George and Barbara Bush Foundation.
The White House Historical Society. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, the White House Historical Association.
Mm-hmm. Universities, corporations, and
the Mike O'Mara Show.
Publicly
the Mike O'Mara Show is, we think of ourselves, and I believe we are the flagship of this operation downtown.
Celebrities,
so,
yes.
With that said, you see a very small part of the Podville operation because you see us every day, and we talk to Pony, and we talk to Dan O'Brien.
Who knows if people would be interested in that, right? We're here for a different reason.
I would be interested in meeting some of the people behind the scenes to do one thing and one thing only. I know you have, because it's I want to talk. Rob, I'm, you're going to have to go behind his back and do that for me. You're going to have to surprise him with someone you think would be good.
I'm not allowed to talk to anybody
you
here. They put me on the other side of the
booth. So you're, once again, I tasked somebody, one of our two.
We will get people
this
in
is on you, you friendly guy walking around. And one day, I said, Mike, before we, you know how he comes in last?
Yes.
Well, sometimes so he comes in, most times he's here very early.
Yes.
But when he comes in last, you say to me, I got so-and-so standing by.
Oh, great.
She's got a story.
Just text him.
You know, it's very funny. There is a moment in the Beatles documentary where they're all there, and Paul says, quite pointedly, he says, well, Lennon's late again. He says, I'm thinking of kicking him out of the band.
They have the same problem.
They do.
So at Podville, there's a lot of traveling around, and you said to me that there was a major controversy in our building parking lot at Podville Enterprises.
For a little background, our garage, which is attached and underneath this building, like any major metropolitan city.
As a rule, my garages that are underneath the building are attached.
Well, they're run by the same business, so not like a different business, right? We have a lease connection. Some buildings let anybody park there. Some buildings, you have to have a lease in the building.
Financially attached.
Yeah, financially attached.
I get it. I understand.
And I would ask for minimal interruptions from Rob at this point, so I can just get through this.
I would like to ask for minimal interruptions from Oscar from now on.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know when you're telling a story, he can't do that.
Well, I'm just asking him so I can get through this one part, and then he can talk all he wants.
I understand, Bruce.
Okay. So we decide to if there is a show or a test with somebody in the DC area within a 10 to 15 mile radius. Sometimes 20.
Can you turn that off, please?
See, this is what I'm talking. He has to interrupt.
He can't stand it.
He can't handle.
He can't.
That was not an interruption. That was a seasoning. That was Oscar in the City. I did not interrupt.
No music needed. We usually send a representative of our firm to hand off the mobile broadcast kit to the communications director, the guest, whoever it may be within the city. We don't use messenger services by design unless we absolutely have to, because sometimes, quite frankly, you've got like Otto from The Simpsons showing up to a a secure building in D.C. With the pretext of being with Podville Media. So we need somebody from our firm that knows what they're talking about, so they can call security, get through, and that have been cleared. Right?
I get it.
So we usually send Dan O'Brien, who has a nice coat, is dressed very well, has an ID, has everything he needs to go and pick up what he needs. Dan O'Brien does a great job. If direction-wise, if you want to go have someone pick something up and bring it back, no problem. And he usually takes our Volvo, our navy blue SUV Volvo. Bottom line.
All right. Whose Volvo is that?
It's Shannon and I's.
It's your
personal vehicle, yes. And we don't mind doing that, because by the time Uber gets here, it could be later. We'd rather somebody go and take care of it, right?
I understand. Completely understand.
So this time we had to have one of our other team members.
Look at your brother over there.
Yes.
Look at your brother all disciplined.
This time we had one of our other team members, Elise, who is very sweet, has been with us for some time, and super professional, take the case over to a VIP client that had a secret service detail.
Is she the Havid girl?
No, different girl. Different girl.
Okay.
And she went down to the garage, jumped into what she thought was our vehicle, to drive, because she had never driven our Volvo before. She doesn't drive to work. She just
What instructions was she given on how to identify the vehicle?
Well, the instructions are probably veiled from here to there. It didn't matter what the instructions
were. But did you say, like, go down, it's a blue Volvo, you can't miss it?
I don't deal with that side of the logistics. I just know this is what happened.
Obviously, not to get in the weeds here, but obviously somebody sent her.
Correct.
Said go down, and you said she's never been to that vehicle before, so she doesn't know how to identify the vehicle.
Correct.
I'm kind of wondering who didn't really babysit her on that.
Well, and there might have been an outlier there, but I don't know who that would be. I really can't even point a finger at the moment.
Okay,
I know this, that our garage attendant is a 10 out of 10, and he knows everybody that goes in and out of the garage.
Rob, he's your best friend, is he not?
Every morning we speak.
Yes. There's a joke, there's exchange, they're friends.
Rob's trying to use brevity during
this story. He says he sees her get into a vehicle, and you may wonder, why is that car unlocked? Well, some of the vehicles, because there is an onslaught of people not coming back to the building, are left unlocked with the key inside because there isn't enough room in the garage.
So all right, now I don't understand what you mean. Because there is an onslaught. Yes, go ahead, Rob.
Particularly Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are heavy days in the garage. There are certain slots that park three cars. If you park in the middle or the outside, you're instructed to leave your key so the attendant can
release the car. So when he was saying onslaught, the garage is very packed.
Exactly.
It's jammed. Yeah,
all right. And it's unlocked because of the attendant who might need to move them.
Yes.
Right. I apologize for the interruption.
Yeah, thank you.
You still are required for your translation skills.
Yes, they could have valeted them. Who knows?
Okay.
Our wonderful team member jumps in a Volvo SUV. Our garage attendant says, hey, that's not your car. Our team member, Elise, says, I know it's not my car. It's my boss's car. I'm going to go drop something off for Podville. He says, yeah, but this is not your car. She goes, I know it's not my car. This is my boss's car. I'm going to drop something off for Podville near the White House. And he's like, yes, I know who you're talking about, Shannon, your boss. But this is not her car either. And she looks around. She's like, there's a baby seat in the back. This is a Volvo.
Okay, I get it.
Wrong car.
Yeah.
Right?
Does Elise, two questions regarding Elise.
Yes.
Does she resemble in her day-to-day garb someone that might wander into a lot and attempt to boost an automobile?
No, that's what's
does
shocking
she look
about
sketchy
this.
At all?
No, not at all. Professional. If I'm not mistaken, UC Berkeley graduate. Like, really?
She is able to evaluate the situation rapidly
right away
and understand that she is in the wrong vehicle.
Correct. She goes, I'm so sorry, there must have been some confusion. Gets out of the vehicle, spots our vehicle, which is another Volvo SUV, which is the correct vehicle. Hits the alarm because we don't leave our keys, unlocks the car, and then proceeds to get in the car. At this point, the attendant...
Do we have a name for the attendant?
Dawit.
Dawit.
What?
Dawit.
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 Dawit?
Yes.
No, that's a breakfast instruction.
His name
King,
is Dawit.
His name is King Vitamin. No.
So, King Vitamin, have breakfast with the king.
Dawit spots her at the end of the lot and sees her getting into another vehicle. And at this point, he said, hey, 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 that's Shannon's car. And runs over.
Which she explained before, correct?
Yes, but Dawit was more in the vein of, like, you've got the wrong car, lady, not whose car
Rob,
is this?
What type of toast would you like with your eggs?
Dawit toast.
I work with animals.
No,
I
have a question, and I don't know how Elise gets to work. Is she...
She walks.
Okay, so that actually adds a layer to the story. Our parking lot attendant wouldn't know her.
Because she looks like a stranger.
She doesn't use the lot every day.
Does she wear sneakers as she's walking over to the building and then slip on to some sensible business shoes like everybody does? I've always found that so endearing.
Like in Working Girl.
Yeah, like Pony does.
I love that. Yes. And Pony does the same thing. Absolutely. Pony wears sneakers from his car up to the up in the elevator, and then he puts on pumps. Go ahead.
Yeah, this Oscar. Is where you have the turn of turns.
Okay.
At this point.
Wait, can I just stop you for a second? Yes. And I'm sorry. So he's confronting her again.
Again.
And doesn't know who she is.
No.
And she's now in your car.
Yes.
And he thinks something's up.
Yes. Okay. And he is at the car door.
Oh.
Not letting her close the door.
Wow.
Because in his mind, he believes that this is gone in 60 seconds. And she is Nicolas Cage. And she is trying to steal vehicles. Wow.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which I respect, by the way. Who doesn't want that in their life? Like somebody that cares about the vehicles that are being
parked. He's going above and beyond to make sure somebody's car doesn't get ripped off. Yes. I'm totally on DeWitt's side.
DeWitt's side. So he says.
Thank you, Rob.
Do you know Shannon? And he says, and Elise says, yes, she's my boss. She's one of my bosses. And she says, okay, well. What's her son's name? And she's like, son?
Well, hold on. Is he offering a trick question?
Yes.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah, and he said, and she says,
what was his mother's maiden name?
Santos. She says, Santos? Like our dog that comes to work with us.
Right.
And he goes, okay.
Pretty good answer.
What's her other son's name?
What's he doing?
So I'm following along here because I had to get involved. Mm-hmm. And she says, other son's name? And they said, you have to, and then when she paused, he got concerned. He said, you have to get Miss Shannon to come down here and validate that you know her, blah, 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 right? So we're already like 20 minutes into this ordeal. There is, by the way, a White House production going on.
Oh, so there's a time crunch on the equipment.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay. So this is time sensitive, this mission that Elise is on.
The big reveal is on its way. Shannon runs down. She's concerned something's going on. She walks in, and she walks in. She goes, this is Elise. She is on our team. She is sanctioned. I gave her the keys. She's dropping something off for Podville. We do this all the time. She said she did. And then DeWitt says, but she didn't know your other son's name.
Oh, so it wasn't a trick question. It was a mistake on the part of DeWitt.
Correct. She goes, my other son? She goes, my husband is Oscar. She goes, but your other son.
What is going on, DeWitt?
Don't tell me you think Dan O'Brien is my son.
Oh, no!
You're kidding. That's who. Oh my God.
And as we learned earlier in the story, Mike, Dan O'Brien has a nice coat.
That's a payoff of payoffs.
I had no idea this happened. I work here. I had no idea this happened or was happening. This is
the
so
parking
fantastic.
Lot attendant known as DeWitt believed that Dan, who happens to be how old?
Dan is 27.
Shannon, just for the
Shannon
record.
Shannon is 34.
Gave birth at the age of 7, Mike.
That is how, where, when, what is going on in this guy's, he thought it was Dan O'Brien?
Because Dan O'Brien drives our Volvo on a regular basis. DeWitt somehow thinks that Dan O'Brien is my son.
Well, you can see the resemblance.
And Shannon's son. And our dog just happens to be a dog.
Wow. So Shannon pulls no punches.
No.
How does she handle
the
situation?
DeWitt, I'm 34 years old.
He could have asked other questions, I think. You know what I mean? And I thought he was doing a trick question because he knew you so well. Obviously, he didn't know anybody
actually,
at all. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
That does explain the car seat in the other Volvo, though. That could have been for Dan.
For Dan. Wow. And that was the son he was referring to.
Yes.
Good God.
Yes.
Rob, offer some commentary on this parking lot attendant for just a moment. Is this, all of this, does this seem possible? Is it like him, or what do you think?
What's going on? It seems possible. I am surprised. Mm-hmm. The comedy is definitely there. I would say Dan could pass for younger, but not young enough to be Shannon's son.
He could pass for my son.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. He could pass
quite
for
easily,
my son. Easily,
you
yeah.
know? I mean, I get that.
Maybe, and I thought about this because Shannon would not let it go last night. She said, do I look like I could have a 27-year-old son?
The answer is I said, emphatically no.
Of
I
course
don't need
and if
yes.
she did, who cares? But
no,
she is young.
Yeah, yes. She is young even for her young age.
Yes.
She is.
And but also, you know, the parking lot attendant doesn't like spend a lot of one-on-one close-up time.
No, it's through glass.
Through glass, oftentimes mass. Passing, waving and stuff.
And if Dan is driving out of our secure parking garage with a mask on, with those doughy eyes, that, oh my God, I'm in the big city.
No, does that give no. off? You're being very kind to the parking lot. No, even with a mask on, Dan O'Brien does not look like he would have popped out of Shannon's vagine 7 years ago. Okay. That just does not seem. And this is a situation. For DeWeed and the company that runs the garage
yes.
that calls for a protocol.
Yes.
This calls
agreed,
for
agreed,
a
new protocol.
Protocol
is in place. Yeah, they have mapped
protocol.
It out.
What yes, if Dan was
photo IDs?
What if Dan was adopted?
They would be very generous.
They would.
They would be very, very generous.
They
that
would.
Is that's fantastic. So it all got squared away,
yeah,
fortunately.
Squared away.
Oh,
Mike,
my
the one
God,
layer of this,
that is the best ending. I love that. That is a punched out story right there.
The layer that you need to also add to this is that this all happened when they're producing the White House television show
mm-hmm.
that
right.
involves literally everybody on the floor.
All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. It's like, and so the fact that this
So you guys go down to the actual, you go down to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and do it out of there?
No. We have a set built here that has a handful of key team members, but the guest that was receiving the mobile broadcast kit
was doing it from another location.
Yeah, correct.
All right. I get it. So,
folklore,
you know,
man. This is folklore.
Yeah, nuts. So now I see Dan. I'm like, hi, son. Walked in this morning. I said, make it a great day.
Right Hiya, by. Pop.
You know, I think maybe in a way that's the gods saying to you and Shannon, breed or adopt or
it's
get
time.
Yourselves. It
yes.
might be time. Speaking of children, but you might not, after you hear this, you might not want to
breed,
dive into this. All right. As I explained that my son was having a parent teacher, a teacher, student, principal, counselor discussion
right.
because of some frustrations he had. It went very well. We were on the phone with the counselor for about a half an hour. We were very, very delighted with the way the school responded. They took it very seriously. And we were told primarily by the counselor to ask my son how it went. And when we asked him, he's eight. And it went good. It went really well, Dad, really well. And then we had another comment by the counselor as to how smart he is. And that was delightful.
Yeah,
that came from
both
the principal and the counselor said the same thing. So we asked about the fact that he was involved in the gifted testing and then came up short in the gifted. I don't know if I mentioned that mm-hmm. or not, but I mentioned maybe off the air to you guys. And he said, well, I think it's something that you need to do. Again with him
yes.
because
a retest.
Anyway,
let's double down.
He went over all the different stuff, but because his year they only do it one day after the year, he has to wait till almost the end of the school year to do it, and then it'll be after the first quarter when we get any kind of information. So it's a long way down, but I asked the guy pointedly. I said, "Is this? By the way, this is not ego or any of that." Do you think it's something he should do? He said, if it was my child, I would be retesting him for it. So that was it. Because part of the issue with my son.
They tested
is
Oscar
that,
a lot in
yes.
schools.
It, came up
part
negative
of,
for lead.
Part of the deal with my.
Why doesn't his jaw move?
Can't move it.
This pain.
Part of the deal with my son was that he was frustrated with the environment he's in. Which also might be related to the fact that he's kind of moving at a certain speed and gets frustrated. Michael wants things done a certain way. So I get that. I understand that. And then, so that's fine. I'm fine with that. And last night, because I found out the deal about the blue hair. All right. Mm-hmm. The blue hair was born out of the head injury that he got.
Oh, all right.
When he got the head injury, one of the things he said, your hair's going to be fine. And, we'll do something. We'll get you a special haircut. And he said, can I get it colored blue? And that's where sweet. That was born, maybe in the emergency room. So yes. That's the whole reason okay. this thing. Okay. You were asking details, me, Father yeah. of the Year. I was so in tune with all that going on that I didn't even know what the hell was going on. So, he got it done yesterday. Thank goodness I guess the lady that did it didn't have any idea what she was doing.
Oh, no.
So it was very faint, like a little red and a little blue, but nothing even, almost like little streaks in it. It was a little highlight.
Ombre.
Yeah. Ombre. What's ombre?
It's like when it's
that
like
gradient.
The color sort of blends into each other, sort of.
Whatever. So anyway, so he gets that done, and then we bring him home. And because it went really, really late, we went out to the local Italian joint and we had a little dinner. And then he comes back and he's really being difficult. And he's being difficult to the point where when it's time for him to go to bed or to do his homework, which was his reading homework. He'd done part of his homework when he was in the place getting his hair done prior to getting in the chair. And he had one little assignment. It's literally a two-minute reading. He has to read a certain amount of words in 2 minutes, and we time him, and we sign off on it. Mm-hmm. So I say to him once, in total ignoring. Disrespectful behavior. And then I said, okay, if I get to three, that's one. Michael, I'm listening, that's two. And then Carla before me says, all right, just go to bed. Just go to bed. And
didn't
then
let he you stands get to three? Up.
Sometimes he goes to the wire with it and, we send him to bed.
Okay.
I said, well, Dad, I have to do my homework. I said, I just told you that when you were completely ignoring me, closing your eyes, pretending to sleep, fooling around, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's I have to do my homework. And he's like standing right in front of me. I said, well, we will do it in the morning. Dad, I have to do my homework. And he's really being uncooperative. And to the point where I said, Michael, one, you're going to bed now. We'll do it in the morning. But I said, two, if you want that phone for the rest of the month, to play your video games on, Dad, I have to, bam, your phone is gone.
Ooh.
You'll get your phone back when I see fit to give it to you. Mm. Now go to bed. Still stands there.
Oof.
Still digging in. He's got these little toy cars from when he got vaccinated. You know the cheap cars the drugstore?
Yeah.
He likes them. He likes those. And I like them too.
Yeah,
they're really kind of like old matchboxes. They're really neat car. I say, two, these are going. And when I say going, trash day tomorrow, they're going out into the trash. Two, Dad, I have to. I go over, I pick them up. I'm walking to the door. Dad! You know, and he follows me outside.
I said,
are you going to bed? This is, it's not necessarily out of character. He can pitch a fit and to make a long story.
But does he often go this close to the wire before he gives in?
No. And my theory is, you know, this is a kid that's been called a meeting with the principal, the counselor, and the teacher. And I think he's starting to think that he is stirring the drink.
Yeah.
He's not stirring the drink. I'm stirring the drink in my house.
Milkshake.
As Grandpa Bob would say, he thinks his ass weighs a ton.
Yes, maybe I should use that voice with him. Maybe I should be There Will Be Blood, you know? Maybe I should call him Eli, you know?
Yeah.
Go to bed, Eli. Go to bed, Eli. Anyway, so
there's a matchbox car, Eli.
I'm out the door with these two. And they're not matchboxes. They're like little die-cast toy cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Die-cast cars. And I'm taking them out to the trash where they will be put. And when that lid closes, they will be there and not retrieved.
Gone.
Because you got to mean it.
Yeah.
You got to mean it. And then he goes, all right, I'll tell you, go to bed right now or I will walk back outside again. And that got him into bed.
Yeah. Good.
And then I said, this attitude has to stop. It really has to stop. And I put him down to bed and I walk out. About 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, Carla and I are watching alone. And she looks over. Should I go and say something? I said, I'm not going to, but if you want to, go ahead. And so she goes in and talks to him. I said, how's he doing? He's doing okay. And then before I go to bed, eye checking him because it's a you know, he's gonna have.
You guys are so loving. My parents would let us like cry ourselves to sleep, and we'd wake up hours later wondering what happened.
Actually, at Oscar's house, they'd put Oscar in the trash can.
I think this was born out of this, you know, feeling of power, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, it was
You're
a good thing.
You're spot on. You know what? My kids would always misbehave if they spent the night at someone else's house.
Yeah.
When they come home.
Yeah, there are factors outside factors. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, but I'm not, you know, I'm not the beatings will begin. That ship has sailed. No. But I'll tell you, you're sitting there a
the
couple of times
alone.
Going, man, a nice smack on the ass would really help this situation out. I mean, a real one.
Yeah.
Like a one that, but I don't do that. So right before I'm going to turn in, I'm going to go just check on him. And he's still up. And he looks at me and I said, do you think you can learn to behave better? Can you do that? And he says something along the lines of, I don't think so. And I'm like, you know, what do you do when he says that? When an 8-year-old says that? And then I'm like, okay, the easy little flyby right before my bedtime because I'm a concerned dad. Yeah. And then it goes on and on and on and back and forth and back and forth.
Now, can you legally flip a race car bed over and be okay? Is that okay?
That's okay. Oscar still has him in the race car bed. He hasn't been in the race car bed for three years. We come to a bit of an understanding, but it's a very rare, chilly good night. And
that's
I walk out of there.
And that's
I'm
upsetting,
thinking,
too. That's very upsetting.
Well, it's stressful, but not, you know, I mean, it's parenting. But
but it is.
But it's just not fun. And I'm wondering, did it come from the meeting? And I'm thinking maybe there was a chance that it came from the meeting. You never know.
He's
never know when you have these situations.
By
the power, power that he has. I don't know.
At any point did he say, listen, look at this hair. This hair doesn't take no
mess. Happy. He's happy with the hair.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been getting a lot of attention. And then the morning comes. And
Did he do his homework this morning?
And, well, we'll get to that in a sec. Because you know what? That's a good question. I walk out and there's a little schedule change this morning because he has to go to see his allergist today to check on his allergies. So he's going to school a little later. I'm not driving him.
Carla, is he allergic to respect?
It is that season.
I'm walking the dog. And so I walk by the dog. You know, Winslow's out of his mind, and I'm taking the dog out. And I walk by him, and I say good morning, but in a very generic way to the room. You know, good morning.
Right.
And I just walk out. And so I go out, walk Winslow, and then I walk over, and I give him a little hug. And I said, are we going to do better today? And he says, yes, Daddy. But good. It's still, you know, when you get the as a parent, you get the total victory where you think you've really made an impact, and then you get he just went to sleep and forgot everything.
Yes.
I think it's the latter. But I don't know.
Do you get backup from Carla? And I'm not saying
that.
Right.
We are a team.
Yeah, but like my mom, when my dad, there was some issue with my father, or I would have done what little Michael, something along those lines, she would come in and she would console me. In a little, like, you know, the cold way, the Eastern Promises way, just like, hey, I see you.
Eastern Promises.
Wow.
And then she'd say, hey, like, I know that
you want the glass of water. Anyway, go ahead.
We have. She would say something like, we have like a way we communicate with each other, but don't F with your dad. He will burn the house down.
Yeah.
I have to maybe consult Carla on that. I would love that situation. By the way, when I'm involved, when I'm directly involved.
A good cop, bad cop?
You know. Well, my dad was the hammer. In our house, my dad was the hammer.
His dad was MC Hammer.
Yeah.
It was a real, real rare deal where, because, you know, listen to those 50s instructional articles that we read. When he would come home after work, if there was something that my mom, I was toast. Mm-mm. I mean toast.
Well, as
absolutely.
You know, Mike, I come from a broken home.
Yeah. You had one disciplining parent. You were passive. You were like a little pile of phyllo dough in front of the television.
I was pretty good, but when things got really bad, if I came home from school and my dad was at the house, not okay. If he was called in, there was trouble.
So would she occasionally after the home was broken.
Yes.
Would she occasionally call him from his residence to be waiting for you because she could not control you?
It was the nuclear option. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you experienced it a couple of times?
Yeah, it was mostly grade and school related. I was acting out a lot in fourth and fifth grade. That was right
after the divorce happened.
Right when they split. Yeah. And that was I was rotten.
That must have been an emotional roller coaster for you, because you see your father, you're like, oh, Dad, you love your father.
Yeah.
But he's there to beat you.
Well, no, he did. I can't remember how old I was the last time he struck me, but he was.
Were you ever struck?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a spanker.
Okay.
Kid. Yeah.
All right.
I think it was probably until I was. I mean, things were changing. I was probably 18.
Because you were misbehaving.
I knew. He just gave me what I wanted. Well, that was over the knee.
That's why we had to quit, is my dad had bad knees. He couldn't do it anymore.
Oh God. Well, I like the idea of moms, you know, yeah, we're a team, and sure, that's the way it goes. Yeah. She takes much more crap than I do. And I don't like it. And so I have to step in a lot to be like that. But he is emotionally, sensitively, he is super, super ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. And that can be fun. But I'm kind of getting stuff that I would have figured it would take place maybe when he was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm getting it right now. So God knows what 13 is going to be like.
Something wonderful about seeing your family and growing with your family, and we just went through this for Thanksgiving, is the bolas pesadas syndrome that I had when I was 16.
What does
and my
that
brother,
mean?
Heavy balls, when you're doing nothing. That's what my mom calls anyone that's just laying on the couch doing nothing. So the bolas pesadas syndrome, it happens to every, you know, teenager. It happens when you're like in your like 8, 9, when you're not doing nothing, but especially when you become a teenager. We all know this. You just went through this,
sure,
right? That my mom, with no mercy, the same way she treated us during Thanksgiving, much like your story of disciplinarian here, my mom says to my sister, get bolas pesadas, this is about my 16-year-old nephew, off the couch and tell him to start working with us. Like helping out around the house, like setting up the table.
Oh man, I'd love to import your mom.
Yeah, and
I really
and
would.
My sister says, mommy, like, why are you calling him bolas pesadas, right? She goes, and my mom's like, look, I don't have time to tell you why or how I tell you things. This is my house. Either he's going to get up or somebody's going to throw a shoe. That's it.
Wow.
You know, we had some bolas pesadas in our house with both the daughters in tow,
sure,
and their beaus, who seriously wore that f***er out this week. Sorry, but they did. We got to take a break.
Yes.
Yeah. Bolas pesadas. I'm writing it down right here, yeah, for the next visit. You know? Yeah. You enjoy that meal? All right. You want to maybe wash a glass?
Lift a finger?
Yeah. That's true. But that's fun. I like that. And that's good. I like your mom. Good instincts. We'll be right back with the homepage.
Yeah, boy!
Rick Schofield.
Let's kick it.
O'Mara.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
All right, stop.
Tune in and listen.
Mike is back with the podcast invention.
Download
TMOS on the daily. Become a P1 just like
Sharon Daily. Mike,
Oscar, Rob, and Pony.
That's the crew of my podcast home.
I got a fever, and the only prescription
is an annual bonus subscription.
Go to MichaelMaraShow.com.
Like the views of a comedy laugh bomb.
iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Spotify, make your smartphone richer.
Love it or leave it, you better hit play. You'll eat it all up.
Yo, the whole tray?
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while Pony revolves.
Mike, baby.
Woo!
Ain't a fucking out.
O'Mara.
Mike, baby.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. That's TDW with a wonderful little performance there. Appreciate that. That's the rap group. Look for their album coming out soon.
Good rap group.
TDW is one of my favorite. Too Damn White. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Christmas has come early for anyone looking to refinance and take cash out or purchasing a new home. After the new O'Mara...
Why do I keep doing it?
America.
Omicron. Jesus, it's hard. Do they try to do that? Let's get a Greek number or a Greek letter that makes it as hard as possible.
Mike, it's all Greek to you.
Yes. The new Omicron COVID variant was announced. Mortgage interest rates plummeted back below 3%. What does this mean to you? Well, you can use the equity in your home to cover your holiday expenses, pay off credit cards, or take cash out for any reason, all while making the interest tax deductible. Just call my good friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone First is a direct lender with their own money, so they can guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. So even if you're working with another company, use them to make sure you're getting the best deal. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and hundreds of great reviews, including ours. Yes. Why would you call anyone else? Call the only mortgage company I recommend, Cornerstone First Financial, serving the listeners of the Mike O'Mara podcast for over 6 years now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. And we love them, and they've been with us a good long time, and we hope it lasts a lot longer.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is an interesting start to this today. Alec Baldwin sat down for an interview with George Stephanopoulos. It's his first interview since he accidentally shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust. The full interview airs tonight on ABC, and I normally don't promote these little pieces that they send out, but this is pretty interesting stuff. I think a lot of people are going to watch it. Alec says, quote, "I didn't pull the trigger. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never." He added that he has no idea how a live bullet ended up in the gun or even on the set. And while he doesn't consider himself a victim, he does say this is the worst thing that's ever happened to him. As far as that whole not pulling the trigger thing, TMZ spoke with a Hollywood weapons expert who showed just how little pressure is needed to pull a trigger when the hammer is back. He doubts Alec's claim that he didn't pull the trigger and thinks it's more likely Alec didn't mean to pull the trigger. So, you know,
how do you feel about Baldwin coming out and what appears to be spin control at this point?
I think it's bullshit.
I agree.
To be perfectly honest with you.
I like the fact that he hadn't said anything. I liked that.
Well, he had that one video on the side of the road.
Yeah, but he was stalked at that point. Yeah. This is something he's
arranged. Are you surprised? I mean, this is a guy that is so wrapped up with confronting paparazzi and the media and fighting with people you know, on social. It's just
I don't think it's his narrative to control, and it pisses me off that he's trying to control
it. I am with you, Rob, 1,000%. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not any way anywhere near about you.
Right.
And it's way too early for you to be pulling that pity party out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I don't like the guy. I don't like the way he handles himself. And I think this is just out of line to do this. Then it's disrespectful to the family of the real victim.
100%. Yes.
PETA named Billie Eilish as their excuse me.
Oh, careful.
As their 2021 Person of the Year for her efforts in encouraging fashion designers to stop using real animal fur and by going vegan. PETA's president said, quote, "With all eyes on Billie at her first Met Gala, she turned the spotlight onto the plight of animals killed for food and fashion." Hold on just a second.
I wonder how she feels about getting that award.
Mm. You know, here I am. It, you know, really, really helps, you know, if... do a little story about Mike, okay? I think you'd like this right now.
Okay.
When you're 62 and you get a hairball, it sticks on your throat and you take a broadcast fall, it really, really sucks. Anyway, that's it.
Oh, the slow one. Ballad.
Struggling. Struggling. Mike is struggling. Getting older, not too much bolder, choking to death.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's see.
Thank PETA, you, William Eilish.
It goes on to say, PETA is happier than ever to celebrate her for pushing the fashion industry toward its sustainable vegan future. Billie's other efforts include a vegan Air Jordan shoe collection with Nike, executive producing a vegan documentary called They're Trying to Kill Us, coming out with a vegan fragrance, and a vegan milk chocolate bar. So congratulations to Billie Eilish. I like Billie Eilish. I watch her annual birthday greeting that she gives fans, where she's a sweet kid, loves her mom, and I think she's a good person. I really, really
do. Latest album is quite good. Quite good.
You can stay in the house from Home Alone, Rob, if you're interested. I know you love that movie.
It's a good movie.
And you can live like a McAllister thanks to a listing from Airbnb. But here's the catch. Only one night is being offered. On the plus side, it's only $25 for four people. Sounds like a movie promotion to me. The reservation listing will open on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and book for December 12th. Just like in the movie, the house is located in the suburbs of Chicago. You'll get to set booby traps, have some of Chicago's finest pizza, meet Buzz's tarantula, and watch the newest film in the franchise. There it is!
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. There's a
Home Sweet Home Alone. Yes. And you also get a Home Alone Lego set. Airbnb will also be making a one-time donation to Chicago's La Rabida Children's Hospital. So there it is.
And I'd like to say this for Shannon Zabios. Look what you did, you little jerk.
There you go.
That's her favorite line from the movie.
It is her favorite line.
That's wonderful, and enjoy, everybody. Okay, more evidence that entertainment is rocking, and award shows are just the best.
Love them. Mike, they're better than ever.
Trevor Noah will host the Grammy Awards for the second consecutive year in 2022. Fantastic. You have the Staples Center and a press release. Grammy CEO Harvey Mason Jr. wrote, Trevor was amazing as our host for the 63rd Grammy Awards, with praise from the music community, music fans, and critics. I don't know why I turned Harvey Mason Jr. into Robert...
Robert Evans. When I heard his name, I thought it would be more like Harvey Mason Jr.
I want to do Robert Evans.
Okay, it's all right.
Hold on. Trevor was amazing as a host for the 63rd Grammy Awards, with praise from the music community, music fans, and critics. We're so very excited to welcome Trevor back to the Grammy stage.
Hey, Mr. Mason, is it true that his skin is nightmarishly elastic?
Yeah, nightmarishly elastic. We feel fortunate to once again have him hosting. We believe he's going to be spectacular. It'll be an unforgettable evening. Love Trevor. Love his work.
Excited because this might be the time that he finally makes me laugh once.
I do not like
that's
Trevor.
That's all I need is one laugh
truly,
from the guy.
Truly,
give me one,
dumb.
Baby. Give me one.
A Louisiana store is pleading for the return of an oversized gummy bear. Mm.
I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy tummy.
One of my kids' favorites. It's a bear statue that vanished from in front of the business. Giggles, a children's store in the Willow Grove area of Baton Rouge, said in a Facebook post that its giant gummy bear mascot named Willow vanished recently. Here's the quote. We had lots of kids come in on Saturday and say how much they missed the bear. And with the holiday season, it's just a fun icon for us, you know? That's the owner, Whitney Coleman. Coleman said the store will not seek any criminal charges or ask any questions if somebody just returns Willow, ladies and gentlemen. And now a little something. 36-year-old Mark Shutta. He's from Bethesda, right down the road from you guys. He really wanted his erectile dysfunction pills.
Oh, no.
According to court records, Shutta approached the pharmacy counter at the Giant on Old Georgetown Road in Bethesda. The pharmacist informed Shutta that his health insurance did not provide a discount rate for his prescribed erectile dysfunction medication, and because of that, the total would be $369.39. With that, Shutta snatched both prescriptions from the pharmacist, one to help him sleep and one to help him
Right.
And he abandoned his shopping cart with his groceries, and he fled the store. Giant told police it was not interested in pursuing a criminal case against Shutta. Another one where they're saying, just bring the stuff
back.
Bring the drugs back. An officer called Shutta twice on the phone to work out a mutually beneficial arrangement. So far, no response from the guy. According to court records, the 36-year-old is unemployed and lives with his mother roughly a half mile from the grocery store. Apparently, Mr. Shutta feels that no punishment is necessary since he will be staying in his house and spanking himself for the rest of the week.
Dear.
Thank you very much. We have to take a little break.
He won't be serving any hard time?
No, absolutely not. No, it's no, absolutely not. Just chopping wood.
Okay.
We will be taking a break, and we will come back with more right here. You're listening to this debacle known as the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, everybody. Hi, Pony.
Hi, this is Jim Amato.
This is Twitch.
And we're out road tripping. And when we're not coming up with lousy ideas for promos and seeing the sights of this great country, we're listening to the TMOS bonus show.
That's right,
they're drunk,
Jim,
here,
the
right?
Just
yes.
Drive
melts
away
high.
When we're listening to our favorite show.
It's our way to get a fix on naughty words like and
your mother.
And how can they get the TMOS bonus show, Twitch?
Well, internet,
TikTok, Bitcoin. So go to Mike O'Mara Show.
That's not how you do it.
Click that banner and have fun on your next road trip today.
We'll see you on the road.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Just a couple of listeners out there having a great time and helping
drunks.
Us out.
That's
we appreciate it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This Cyber Week, Bowl and Branch is offering their best deal of the entire year. I am so glad that they're back on the air with us. You can get the best sleep of your life with their highest quality organic cotton sheets. When you shop Bowl and Branch, you're supporting a family-run business that crafts the highest quality, toxin-free, pure organic cotton sheets. In fact, Bowl and Branch was the first fair trade certified bedding brand. That is a big deal to me, and it should be to you. They give fair pay to every one of their farmers and factory workers. I love that they choose to include that in this message to you. All I know is that these are the best sheets I've ever had. All of their stuff is amazing, but the signature hemmed sheets are their all-time bestseller. They're beloved for so many reasons, like how they get softer with every single wash. Folks, I really, really want us to get a win for Bowl and Branch.
Please.
Here. I want them to know that that TMOS is really supporting them because I love this company and I love the fact that they do that fair trade. That makes it rock. Soft, lightweight, and made with 100% organic cotton weave that feels incredible, gets softer every time, available in many colors and all sizes. This Cyber Week, give your loved ones the best sleep of their lives or treat yourself with Bowl and Branch, their holiday packaging and famously soft sheets, blankets, pillows, and more. Make a difference everyone will feel. Get 25% off until midnight tonight with their best offer of the year at bowlandbranch.com. That's 25% off at B-O-L-L and branch.com. Exclusions may apply.
Do it today. Got to get it done today.
Delighted.
Yeah.
Love it. To have them. I do want to say something about what's happening. You know, I'm reading a lot in the news. If I can have my little moment here.
Sure.
It's just, it's kind of sad that, you know, this Supreme Court now, it's pretty obvious that they are going to, there's a very good chance. We won't know, I believe, until June. But you're seeing the protests in front of the Supreme Court. And there's been the battle in America over abortion and right to life. And, you know, I'm just here to say it pretty much looks like what, you know, they've been wanting to do this in this country for so, so very long. And you knew it was going to happen. And I'm not going to make a statement one way or the other on this. I am a pro-choice person, but I'm not over the top with it. I'm not going to get, you know, on the steps of somewhere and protest. I am somebody that really, really hopes that with this this decision, if it comes down on the side to throw out Roe, that women in this country are not subjected to what they may have been in the years past, simply because of better access to people that know how to handle this situation. I just think that the insensitivity displayed by asking a woman, you know, well, shouldn't, you know, you've got the adoption option at the end of this. it's really easy for people that aren't going through that to say that. And I think this is just ignoring women and ignoring the rights of women. And do I think that adoption is a better option? Of course I do. I think that's wonderful. I think that's great. But at the same time, you never know what the circumstances are going to be. And I think that people that are so passionate on one side of this tend to forget that there are human beings involved. And right. say, well, what about the baby? I get it. I get that too. That is there. That is there as well. But it is... I just wish that we could be more nuanced in America and that we could be more sensitive to the circumstances, you know, instead of so rigid. You know, when you really talk about the religious beliefs that exist in so many people who are passionately right to life.
Right.
I think that there are teeny tiny little hypocrisies in there all the time. And when you talk about religious doctrine dictating government policy and laws, you know, need I remind everybody that we fought the Taliban over in Afghanistan, and that's taken to the extreme when, you know, girls aren't allowed to read and write and learn how to, you know, make a world for themselves. Religion for a long time has dumped on women, and I just...
Anytime
it makes me sad. That's all I wanted to say. And somebody's got to say it. I never talk about this issue because it's so divisive. But man, I feel as though, you know, when you got a Supreme Court justice that has seven children, like the Duggars,
yeah.
you know, I mean, goodbye to so they're going to win. And it's just I think it's a sad situation because there's so much of a lack of flexibility on an issue that I think needs more flexibility than anything.
I think anytime a doctrine of any sort is painted in an airtight, no exception fashion, you're yeah. setting yourself up for hypocrisy. Because yeah. anytime, every situation is different. And Mike, I love what the word you used, nuanced. Look at the nuances.
Yeah.
They won't. And this is why. And
a lot of questions about safe houses, which if you want to you know, read between the lines on that, safe houses, basically a woman who wants to terminate a pregnancy for whatever reason, going to a safe house to carry the baby to term. It's just it's frustrating for me. And, you know, I'm not a woman, but I get the deal here. And I also get the deal that there are tons of women that have had have terminated pregnancies that have tremendous guilt. They do. But there are also women that have been able to extricate themselves from horrific situations of abuse and mm-hmm. incest and rape that have done this. And that cannot be discounted. And we'll see what happens with it. But here we are. And there's so many people out there that are looking at this as a my team, your team issue. And I just don't think there's any issue that's less like that.
Yeah,
to take everybody into account individually. And I wish we could do that. But we can't. We can't.
I'm just so glad that Shannon carried Dan O'Brien to term.
Thank you for getting me out of there. That's great. Hi, DeWeet. Nice to see you. Doing a fantastic job. We'll come back with something just a little lighter. Just wanted to get that off my chest. I'm sorry. Hey, right wingers, you can hate me more now. Thank you very much.
You're a monster.
I'm a terrible monster. Yeah. Sure I am. We'll take a break. Be right back.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Miss one episode, and you miss a lot.
This is excellent.
It's like the worst porn I've ever seen.
Just a look behind.
What did I do? What did I do?
Oh, no.
You want a drumstick?
I love beef, but I'll take this.
It's fantastic.
Tom, do you go out and do clinics?
I go to clinics.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is your only chance to get that fifth episode of TMOS every week, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Get a subscription today or gift one for the holidays. It's another great way to support TMOS. Click that bonus show banner now and get laughing. It's all at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Very good. There you go, everybody.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Did you know that 1 in 3 Americans suffer from nausea and all of them hate it? If you can relate, you've got to check out Relief Band. I've used the Relief Band for going offshore, and I have also used the Relief Band when I've had a little bit too much of the evening before.
Yeah.
Relief Band works. And it's worked for a good long time. It is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that's been clinically proven to relieve and prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, which I get. I don't look, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. But I got it when I got older. I got more sensitive to things like going on amusement park rides or going offshore to do some fishing. I just got it, and it worked for me with that amazingly. It works for anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. 100% drug-free. This is an item that you wear on your wrist that gently pulses on your wrist to communicate with the brain and the tummy and all that. I'm not sure how it works, but it works. The technology was originally developed over 20 years ago in hospitals. Relief Band will stimulate the nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea, that it blocks the signal that your brain is sending to your tum-tum. It was a lifesaver on my last fishing trip. And now, for when you hit the high seas, they have the Relief Band Sport that's waterproof. I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I love my regular one, Mike, but I'm going to pick up the...
You covet this.
I covet this. I do. It's great. They improved it. It's interchangeable bands and extended battery life. The holiday season is here, and there's never been a better time to give the gift of Relief and make sure your loved ones are nausea-free. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you'll get 20% off, plus free shipping and a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. So head to reliefband.com, reliefband.com, and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. I do talk about it all the time. I went on a fishing trip with my
kids. Awesome.
Came back, and normally you get that roller. You get the rollers even when you're back on
you
land.
Feel it.
It didn't happen with the Relief Band. So I'm psyched, super psyched about that. What was the last thing I wanted to talk? Halle Berry, if I can get light for
please.
A second. Man, oh man, there are not many people that don't adore Halle Berry. Yeah. And I've read a lot about her because she is a trailblazer with her Oscar, but most recently, she'll post an occasional selfie where she's like in the gym and totally ripped, and she is absolutely one of the most beautiful women in the history of Hollywood.
She was great in John Wick 3.
She was great in Monsters Ball with Billy Bob, where she just made the pivot. She is a great actor.
She is
she
one
was
of those
great in Get Shorty.
She's one of those performers that has had very few missteps, and she elevates the properties that she's a part of.
Well, here's the thing. Her latest that's on, I want to say Netflix. I think it is.
Okay.
It's called Bruised, and it is Halle playing a failed UFC women's fighter.
Wow.
And here's why it works. She is such a gym rat, and she works out so vigorously that brings the credibility to this. And it is a fun, fun movie to watch if you like boxing movies. And I love boxing movies.
It is a Netflix.
It's really, it's called Bruised, and she rocks, for one main reason. This is a woman, and I've read about this, who is not shy about her workouts, and she brings that to the table. I don't think it's really hard to fake that.
Oh, the physicality.
Most of the great boxing movies, you get Sylvester Stallone, who's the poster child for, being the in that kind of shape anyway when he made those movies. Halle Berry's the same way and does just an amazing job.
What's
so if you
the tone
check
of the
out,
movie?
Really
you
good.
Say it's fun. Is there? Is it?
The movie's dark. It's very, very dark. It's very kind of depressing.
Okay.
About how she had her biggest fight ever.
Fight.
And had a problem fight, and then fell into just depression and a malaise, and she's had a screwed up life, and she's got a screwed up mom, she's got a screwed up boyfriend.
Like, Over the Top was dark. You remember that movie, right? About the truckers.
Over the Top.
Movie, yes.
That I don't remember that. Over the top.
Top is underrated. For those of you out there, that
actually,
are looking,
it's not.
Well, no, it is. As a kid, I was like, man, I can't wait to be a trucker and, arm wrestle around
America. Who stars
America.
In Over the Top? Who's the
Sylvester
starring?
Sylvester Stallone.
It's a thrilling arm wrestling movie.
I love it.
It's in that genre.
Are you a Rocky fan,
of
too?
Of course.
Is that Eli?
Of course.
Okay.
I've been programmed by pop culture. And I love it.
I have two fish, Cuff and Link.
You remember, what was the
Turtles.
Clint Eastwood one? What was it, Million Dollar Baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hillary Swank was another one who...
That's dark. That is who's, dark.
Yes. Yeah, she's a gym rat, and so it had credibility, but it was so depressing. God. I mean, just a lot of... If you want to know...
Where are the feel-good boxing movies, like Raging Bull?
Another boxing movie, but more psychological and recent, Mike.
Yes.
Yes.
Pay $30. Don't do it. Don't... I mean, it was dark. Watch it with my family. Wish we
That's
didn't.
Like a pay-per-view.
Yes. Spencer.
Oh, you wanted to talk about Spencer because it was so horrible.
Psychologically disturbing.
That's a Princess Diana movie, not a boxing movie.
No, that Princess Diana loved to box. You didn't know this?
Yeah.
Mike, every December 26th, they have Boxing Day.
With the royal family.
I am an Anglophile to a degree, so I don't mind following the royal family a little bit, and I like hearing the story. I watched The Crown, loved it.
Yes.
This looked intriguing, but also a little off.
The Crown would have done a better job of this film.
Okay,
because
that's
this
good.
Film, well, it's tough because the lens, think about an adult Greek man, four Bolivian men, and five Bolivian women sitting there. And it's an unfortunate tale of what Diana went through.
Actually, that cast of the people that are watching, it sounds like a better movie.
Yeah.
It would be a better movie, more spicy.
Yes. And one by one, the Bolivian spicy. Men and the Greek men started going to the kitchen to eat because it was so disturbing.
So spicy. Does it take place, does it follow the whole story from meeting Charles or is it her young life?
It's it's set on Christmas Eve, her last Christmas Eve, and how terrible that entire encounter was with the British family.
That's her last one. They've already announced that they're splitting.
They're
is
about
that how
to
it goes?
Announce. And this is what's strange. There are some layers from Anglophile side that you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Is where everybody knew that she was on just thin ice. And then they portray the support staff for her to say, hey, whatever you do, don't F this up. Like, you're on thin ice and no one's telling you. Like, we already know, we've heard other people talking that this is going to happen. They will let you guys get divorced and it's over. So you have that intrigue there.
So don't do anything to screw up the divorce.
Don't screw up Christmas or you're going to get cut off.
Okay, I get it. All right.
Like, it will happen. Because she thought she was untouchable.
It.
Yes.
They managed it. Yeah, and then it goes right up to the horrible death.
Yes,
is that?
Yes, but it was such a terrible movie. Terrible.
It terrible.
Terrible.
The lady that plays Diana is not good
enough. The Twilight Girl, right?
So, no. Kristen Stewart? No. No.
This poor table.
And my mom.
Kristen Stewart plays Diana?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she does like the sad turtle smirk that Diana does a little bit, but.
That's a terrible casting move.
Goodness gracious.
I'm trying to think if there's anything.
It's like a
one-act
play.
You know what?
High praise.
Rob, anything for us that's not 300 years old besides the Beatles?
You know what?
Give us something decent, please.
I will tell you this. I have been watching. I had to get Disney Plus because of the Beatles thing, and I've been prowling around Disney Plus. I don't know that I'll keep Disney Plus.
Prowling's probably the wrong word to use.
They have a marvelous documentary on the Imagineers that if you have any sort of creative juices.
It's awesome.
It's a six-part miniseries that's unbelievable. I couldn't. I haven't sat down and binge-watched something for 6 hours forever.
How they build what they build at Disney.
And it's filled with sex, right?
Lots of sex. And did you know that...
butt plugs.
Mike, all the Imagineers are bottomless.
They were abused, weren't they? And I'm not joking here. They were like underpaid, and
not going to show you that side,
and not really. The Imagineers were sort of
right. It's a Disney Channel. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, but the Imagineers were Walt's favorites. I don't think he liked the animators all so much, but the Imagineers he loved.
Weren't the animators, underpaid?
Yes, I believe the animators were.
I don't know the side of Disney.
Oh, he was a horrible man.
Yeah, really? They were not. Yeah. They were not compensated, especially back in the days before computers, where they had to painstakingly paint
the cells.
And draw.
That's why
those
would,
cells.
They would hide sexual things in the cartoons as revenge to Walt.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like a giant, a giant castle phallus.
Yeah, that was on the Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid box.
But they would do that Is that alleged that they would do that because they hated Walt Disney?
I think that was a little later where that happened, where it was on one
of
the boxes.
Wasn't Walt dead by then?
But also, yeah, Walt was dead, but he was not universally liked within the industry because he was extraordinarily tight, and I believe there were certain facets of the population he was not fond of.
An Imagineer?
Are the people that pretty much came up with the notions for the park and the ideas. Like, the audio animatronics were entirely, you know, it started as birds in Mary Poppins and ended up with Abraham Lincoln speaking at the World's Fair, and then it turned into the Hall of the Presidents, and how they do the effects in the Haunted Castle. It's great, great behind-the-scenes creative stuff. If you go to Disney Plus Imagineer,
you would love
it's
it.
Fascinating. And you know,
they spotlight that person that designed the lines that go back and forth and back and forth with ropes?
Oh, yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean? Where they herd you like cattle into an amusement park ride? I'd like to see that person hit with a bat.
Mike, that's part four, and they focus on that guy, and his name is Satan.
Satan. Yes. Hello. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back with Soundtown.
Yes.
That's right. Soundtown, everybody, with our own Rob Spiewak. So you got the Don't Watch Spencer. Please watch Bruised.
Yes.
And check out the Imagineers miniseries.
On Disney Plus.
If you have time. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All of that. There. You're welcome. We'll be right back.
Hey, kids, where do you want to go for dinner?
Amato!
Now Jim Amato is going to, like, sell a veggie burger.
Amato burgers.
I love beef, but I'll take this.
You'll not believe the incredible Michael Barra burger.
This Amato veggie burger is fantastic.
Oh, God, these are good.
Welcome to Amato's, Pittsburgh's favorite burgers.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
At Amato's, we pack our burgers with top-quality cuts of beef and prepare everything with tender love and care.
Did they teach you that here?
Brad.
If you're hungry for laughs, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Supersize the fun with a yearly subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Now don't just stare at it, eat it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. Cooler weather, easy to miss signs of dehydration.
Yes.
That means even more important to keep your body properly hydrated. Plus, flu season is in full swing. Proper hydration and vitamins can help support a strong immune system. Prioritizing hydration helps us feel healthier on a day-to-day basis. And lets us, live up to our... Oh, I'm sorry, Rob.
What?
I hate to do this.
What?
I missed this the first time. Here's the sentence. It's supposed to say, and lets us live up to our highest potential.
Right.
But it reads, lets us to live up to our highest potential.
Daggers.
$20.
Good news,
One stick of liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. And not only that, but the product tastes great with flavors like watermelon, strawberry, and lemon lime. It's 'tis the season for a few extra drinks. So trust me, this is what you need. What makes liquid IV so effective? Cellular transport technology. CTT. It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium, and it delivers water and nutrients into the bloodstream super fast. Liquid IV is out to change the world. They really are. They donate to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Liquid IV has donated over 11 million servings globally. That is awesome. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off, and that you'd get by going to our website. Go to liquidiv.com, use the code TMOS at checkout. And if you go to our website, all you have to do is click on Liquid IV, and you're there. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Soundtown!
Did you hear that?
Listen, what's that sound?
The big sound in the big town.
The sound.
There's a new sound.
Sound.
What a sound.
Sound.
That's the sound.
Soundtown.
She's 89, Mike, and she's doing press. Rita Moreno. And
yeah,
she's
all over the place.
She's
great on 60 Minutes.
Still manages to look stunning. And oftentimes we say that sarcastically, but she does. She's still lovely, and she's been pretty a long time. Mm-hmm. I love when someone breaks a story that I don't know about someone that I know a lot about. I didn't know that Elvis asked Rita Moreno out on a date.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
And she used him to get back at Marlon Brando, who she was dating and was cheating on her. Here's
all the
story
time.
From The View yesterday.
I found lingerie in his house.
Brando's
house.
I was
heartbroken, and I went home in tears. And the very next day, and I was angry too, the phone rings, and I say hello, and I hear a voice say, "This is Colonel Parker. My client is Elvis Presley." And Elvis spotted you at the 20th Century Fox commissary, and he liked what he saw. And he would like very much to meet you. Would you like to meet him? And I thought of those panties, and I said, yes, I would. Even without social media, I dated him several times. Uh-huh. He was sweet but boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was sweet, but he was a country boy. I mean, yeah. This is Marlon Brando.
Brando wasn't boring.
So anyway, when he found out, and it didn't take long, interestingly, without social media, he started to throw chairs.
Really?
He was so angry. Yeah, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
Anyway, she is so. I watched her documentary.
Yeah.
I watched her on 60 Minutes. I love Rita Moreno. My mom adored Rita Moreno.
Yeah.
And it's just, she is so unvarnished. She tells, look, and it, she might be varnished. She might be holding back.
I don't feel
and,
she
and
is.
Spinning it her
is.
Way, but she doesn't come across that way.
And Mike,
really, really fantastic.
She's an EGOT.
Yes, Emmy, mm-hmm. Grammy, Oscar, Tony. There
and,
it is.
And she was also the lady on Electric Company that yelled, "Hey, you guys!"
That's right. Absolutely.
I love Rita mm-hmm. Moreno. And if you haven't seen it, stream that 60 Minutes interview. It's fascinating.
It's great.
All right, Oscar, you're going to like this.
Yes.
They revealed a hack for Alexa that actually is a nod to old video games.
Okay.
And this is a way you can put Alexa into super mode. So if you're listening, before I say this, I'm going to say, "Hey, Alexa!"
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start.
The counter code.
Super Alexa mode activated.
Here's the thing, though. Super Alexa mode isn't anything.
Aww.
It just says you're in Super
Garbage.
Alexa mode.
You don't get unlimited lives?
No, but that's... Did you remember using those
oh,
codes?
Oh, yeah, Contra.
Yeah, sure.
Very Absolutely, nice. All day.
Lots of people traveling during the holidays, Mike, and I thought this would be helpful. This is a flight attendant with some travel hacks you can use when you're on an airplane. This will help make your flight a little more fun.
Bet you didn't know these three travel hacks that I do every single time from a former flight attendant. First up, if you're a girl, always check the lavatory for extra tampons and pads. If they're not there, ask a flight attendant. Everyone always thinks you can't use the first class bathroom, but you totally can. As long as you're not standing in the galley, you're free to use their lavatory. We've all been there where we're on an oversold flight and they're trying to buy people off the aircraft. Always go up to the gate agent and negotiate price or perks before you accept their first offer.
I had heard the thing about negotiation, but I know that ever since I found that tape, I haven't paid for a single tampon.
Does she mean take them?
Yeah, stock up.
Steal them?
Yeah. Is it really stealing if they're complimentary?
Wouldn't they be? I always feel like there's like a DNA factor to all of that.
Well, it's rather foreign to me.
Like if you took a black light and scanned that bathroom,
yeah.
It'd be nasty.
Yeah.
Super nasty.
The lists keep coming out. Spotify agrees with what we did yesterday. The number one streamed song for 2021 is Driver's License.
I know we weren't perfect, but I've never felt this way.
Great song.
I can't dance to it, though.
It's beautiful.
You can weep to it.
I don't need this to weep. All I got to do is review my day.
What movie would be? What be your number one weeping movie?
Casablanca.
No. Probably a tie between A Charlie Brown Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life. As a matter of fact, the kids are at a point now where they say, "Let's watch Charlie Brown Christmas and see Dad cry."
Really?
Because they've seen it their whole life. Yeah.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
It's a happy thing, and it's a it's really a really strong reminder of. Way Christmas should be and the way it was brought up in my house.
Also, probably around the time your father left.
Well, no, it's older than that.
Oh.
No. But you never see Charlie Brown's dad. True enough.
Nothing wrong with weeping at a movie. It's a good thing.
What about you?
Yeah.
What about you?
Scarface.
Now, do you cry? Are you more likely to cry at a sad movie or a happy movie? I'm all about crying at happy movies. That's what gets me.
I think Rudy would be an example of a happy ending, right, to that. And I like it when it's great joy. I like triumph.
Yeah.
I like triumph. Bruised was the last one that got me a little verklempt.
Yeah.
I truly, truly enjoyed that. And then there are movies that all will just remind me of my folks for some inexplicable reason. The Natural.
Yeah.
And his scenes with Glenn Close get me going a little bit because it's just wonderful. And the ending of The Natural is just spectacular
great.
Where he's throwing the ball.
We are closing in on our 11th year, our 11th anniversary, December 7th. And I remember about 10 years ago, you and I had a heart-to-heart.
I thought this was our 12th year.
No, that will be. It'll be our 12th anniversary. Forgive me. We're in our 11th year. But anyway, early on in the podcast, we said as we get older, we cry more. And it's true. You do. You cry more as you get older.
But there's a movie, Finch, on Apple Plus, right?
Oh,
do
yeah.
not watch that unless you want to blubber. Especially if you love animals, blubber like a child at the end of that film.
Mike, what
will we be going into our 12th year or our 13th?
It'll
year?
Be our 12th anniversary and our 13th year.
Yes.
So we'll. So in 2022, that'll be our 13th.
In fairness, lucky 13. The pandemic really wiped out a lot, right? It was like a pause year for a lot of people. I
understand. Okay. I like to know those things.
But it's December 7th, 2009, I just screwed up the math, so I apologize.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
People that like to be naked, and they like to tell you they're naked, even if mm-hmm. it's really not mm-hmm. key to the story or appropriate. There's a guy named Charles Kendrick who caught a guy trying to steal his catalytic converter. and watch how he just slips in the fact that he approached the guy. Oh, yeah, and he was naked.
It was about 2 a.m. playing video games, Grand Theft Auto, funny enough. I'm naked in my house. Like, you know, I'm relaxing. So I come out the house naked, and sure enough, there's somebody under my car. From out from under the car, and he starts swinging the saws all at me. I start fighting with the guy and wrestling with him. He ends up elbowing me, but I still grab onto him, and I end up getting his phone off of him. It's not the end of the world to me, but there's people out there that, you know, that wake up in the morning, they're not expecting it, and now they have no way to get to work.
So he was naked, fighting with a guy about a catalytic converter. I don't know where he put the phone. That's what I was
wondering. Think it would be easier to go for the balls. So, for some reason, that's the first thing. Maybe because I have an 8-year-old. That's the first thing I thought about. You know, that he's under the car and he looks up and there they are.
Ding dong.
Swinging free in the breeze, baby.
What is that, an air freshener?
What's going
congratulations
on?
Congratulations to a gentleman in Australia who broke the world's record for the world's loudest burp.
The old record, I love a good burp.
The old record was 109 and change decibels. He got it to 112. Here's the loudest burp in the world from down under.
112.4.
G'day! You get the latest burp!
But
where'd it go, mate? That's right, that's the latest burp I've ever heard.
Let's close with this. Let's remember the man whose record was shattered. We close with the great Paul Hun, who was only able to muster 109 decibels, but I believe, all told, a better burp.
Oh.
And Mike,
superior in every way.
And Mike, that's all I got.
Now leaving SoundCloud.
That's it. We got to get out of here, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. Why am I sounding like Jim Abbato? I don't know. My burger, the veggie burger, is spectacular. I really enjoy the work that he does each and every day for the Michael Barabone Show. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and if you'd like more of me, all you have to do is tune into the Michael Barry Show, and you can hear me doing lots of promos with my friend Burke Riddell. Except we got to get out of here. I don't know why I did that. It's a love. It's what it is.
It's love, and I love love.
Truly love them. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode, everybody. It's our bonus show, so if you don't subscribe to the bonus show, you won't see us or hear us. That's just the way it goes.
But, Mike, if they want to see us or hear us, what should they do?
They should go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click on the bonus show. That's how easy it is. We'll see you tomorrow if you are a bonus show subscriber. I know that might sound harsh or cold to you, but if you're bothered by it, get bent. Anyway, for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, good for you.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.